It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raymond, a long time Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
Yep. Tell you what,
it's let's see if I can get Brother Nick to give us a call.
Yeah, we didn't give us a call. But
We went over there Saturday night, had a big old Marine Corps birthday party out there. It's not a birthday party. We already had that, but we had that a couple of, November the 11th. Okay. But we had a blast. We were on the back porch out there with I don't know how many Coast Guard guys. I think we drowned them out.
Marines wouldn't do that.
But I mean, don't give us 3 or 4 drinks. So expect us to be quiet. We'll put y'all in timeout. I don't believe so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, it's always a good time over there. So that's good. As long as you had a good time, that's the main.
I remember it well. I'll tell you what. At this day and time, you don't want to get no DUIs or DWIs or whatever they want to call it.
Yeah. And it's that time of year. This is what I call amateur season.
Right.
Yeah. So, the ones that, they drink once or twice a year, and this is the time of year they get that
thing. Oh, yeah.
Not meaning that you should do it all year long, but, just saying that, all the amateurs get out and try it this time of year. So just be careful on the roads.
Better get the number of the Uber driver.
Yeah. That's right. You know, if you're going to be out and going somewhere, either plan to have a designated driver or, pick up a phone.
Oh, yeah. There's hey, go ahead. You're going to have a good time. It's just, make sure that you don't overindulge of the adult beverages.
Right.
And those modified cocktails that they got out there now.
That's right.
Look like Slurpees to me. But But, son, they got enough alcohol in it to cause you to do cartwheels.
Yep.
So you don't need it. You don't need all of that. So make sure you got an Uber driver number or you have a designated driver, and just be careful. We had a couple of the employees over at Sunset Point or Ed, some of their Panini Peak group. I was in an accident over the weekend, and so I think they're okay from what I've heard. So, and I don't know exactly who it is. I just know it was a couple of their employees. So
yeah.
We were all praying for her. So it's the day of time you can pray for somebody even though you don't know the name.
Exactly. But, and you just have to be careful. Even tonight I saw an accident at a red light on the way here. You got to be careful. Pay attention to what's going on around you.
And that's the thing is you're driving. Unless you're going to get in there and text and use your telephone and do all that stuff, and you're riding down the road at night and you kind of glance over to the side and the car's side of you and you see that damn spotlight in his hand.
Right.
With his cutting on his back on his face and you're going like, I either need to speed up or slow down. I don't run alongside of him for a while.
Well, and you got to be careful unless you can get well out ahead of them because they may not be paying attention when you get to the next red light,
I was coming back from over there. Oh, actually, coming back from over there the other night. And there was a Ford Dually, diesel, had about an 8-inch pipe running out from under the rear of it, and he was laying down a bunch of smoke, but he had about a 32-foot trailer, or 40 maybe, low boy, and he had a little car. It was in the front, up in the front of it, and he had a van. It looked like a transit van, one of those big Ford vans with high roofs on it, or the Mercedes Benz transit.
Right.
And that whole trailer was, it was weaving. I mean, from the rocket. And I thought, if that guy makes one wrong move, that thing's going to lay over on him, Because I just saw an 18-wheeler.
I'll get blowed over.
Yeah, it was over there. It turned over trying to get off the interstate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's easy to do.
And he rolled over. I don't know where his load shifted on him or what. But, back in 60s when I was in the trucking business and all. I had that happen to some of my guys, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We hauled a lot of rolled paper out of Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff, you know, it didn't have much of a surface on the floor.
Right.
And we had it all chocked in there with 4x4s and
mm-hmm.
2x6s and what have you. And then and they'd get up there somewhere and have to make a real quick move or something, and that stuff would flip.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
But somebody was so top-heavy.
Yeah, you get in a situation like that, and it will definitely turn you over for
sure.
Oh,
yes.
Looks like we have a caller online, though.
Caller online.
Caller, you with us?
Yes, sir. Hey, Kev, it's Kevin. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Oh, good. Hey, Mr. Claxton, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, brother. I got up this morning. That's a great day for me.
Roger that. I just want to call and wish you guys Merry Christmas. I'm glad to see y'all doing well and the industry's picking back up. So just wanted to call and hope Santa Claus brings you everything that you need right there. That's a fact.
And you know what? As long as he don't leave any bills, I'm happy.
Yep.
That's it. That is exactly. A big fact.
You can bring me anything you want, and you can put my name on anything you want. Just don't leave a damn receipt that says not paid yet.
Exactly.
There you go.
Well, what's going on out at y'all's big place of business, man? You moving some rides?
Things are good right there. You know, now that they're building cars again right there, probably the same way for you, Kevin. You know, we're just glad to see some inventory for a change right there. For a while, it looked like Swiss cheese. You know, you didn't have anything, but people seem to be spending money, and that's a good thing, right?
That's awesome.
All the way
yep.
around.
Yep, absolutely.
Hey, we've been talking over the last few weeks or so, actually for the last 10 years, about the hybrid cars and electric cars. And I don't have a problem with you telling me where you work at, so, lay it out there. Tell us about what's going on with y'all's cars.
Oh, well, like I say, I've been out at Palmer's Toyota almost 25 years now, and you know, Toyota's kind of, you know, king of the hybrids right there, and they're doing good, you know, and then some of the new motors coming out with the auto stop start, and, you know, gas mileage is getting better. But like I tell people, I said, you know, a lot of it depends on the driver right there. You can take a hybrid car and not get the greatest gas mileage because it's owner-operator problem there. But, you know, in the industry of hybrid and the different styles of motor now, I mean, you've got cars years ago that were getting 25 to 30. Now they're getting 35 to 40 miles per gallon just as a regular combustion engine.
Right,
so,
right.
So, you know, the computers that they're putting on them and learning basically, I know last week you were talking about, Kevin, how they learn how you drive. And that's true. They'll learn if you're, you know, if you race to the stoplight, or you ease into it easier right there. And you can get some of the, you know, new Camrys and Corollas upwards of 40 miles per gallon right there. So lots of times you don't have to spend that extra money going to get the hybrids.
Yeah.
You can get a regular combustion engine and get some great performance out of it.
You know, and Kevin, I think that's the neat thing about it. Not only are your Toyotas doing that, but Kevin's all the Chevrolets, all the General Motors vehicles and the Fords, they're all getting great gas mileage. But, you know, that CAFE program or CAFE law, that come out of D.C. forced all of that, and it's forcing us to continue with the high-mileage vehicles.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, the thing is, even, you know, the trucks in the next couple of years, you're going to see, we've got a hybrid truck coming out the next 2 years, and it's going to be interesting right there because, you know, your feet-pound of torque is so much different right there because you're using, you know, three things. You got your motor and the hybrid system and the generator, so it's hard to put a finite number on them. But I tell them it's been around for a while, too, like with your locomotives and stuff that have been using diesel and electric engines and stuff. So there's a lot of good things out there. But I tell you what, I still like firing up a 350 or a 283 with a 750 on it. Though.
Ooh, what you say.
Exactly.
The good old days.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, what's funny now, though, is, and I was just watching, I guess, the world's fastest or United States fastest, drag cars. The old boy from Memphis was running New Orleans and Iowa against each other, and they were popping the hoods and raising the hoods. And I didn't see damn one of them just had a carburetor on it.
Oh no!
You know, they either had a blower or they had.
If anybody could still rebuild the carburetor right there, then I tell you what, they're gold right there. Because I think like maybe me, you, and Kev, maybe the last of the Mohicans.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's the truth.
That is the truth.
That's it.
Yeah, man. Well,
hey, I always enjoy listening to the show. Just wanted to call in and wish y'all a Merry Christmas. And hope you and the family are doing well.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. You're a great guy, and we've been knowing you for years, and we appreciate the pat on the head there.
Yep.
Absolutely. I appreciate all the years you let us just come hang out at the shop right there. And just that's how we cut our teeth and learn where we're at now. We appreciate you, Mr. Claxton.
That's what it was all about, brother. Y'all have a blessed one. Have a great holiday. Bless you and your family.
Yes, sir. You too.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, sir.
All right, Kev.
Bye-bye.
It's a good guy.
Yep. Good guy. I mean, it's and he's right, though. You know, there's the old school guys that even know what a carburetor is anymore.
Oh, yeah?
They're hard to find, you know. But, you know, in talking about the gas mileage and the gas burners, of course, they're all having to do it because the other ones are.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
It's a race, just like
competition.
Any other race. But sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Sometimes she runs, sometimes she don't. More than once she's left me on the side of the road. The older she gets, the slower we go. But there ain't nothing wrong with the radio. She needs a carburetor, a set of plug wires. She's riding me around.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we were talking a little while ago and talking to Kevin from out there at Palmer's Toyota. Been out there forever, good friend of ours. But, he touched on a couple things, inventory.
Right.
Which sounds like they're starting to get some inventory back in out there as well.
Right.
The whole industry has been struggling with inventory this year.
Well, let me see if this is right. It looked like the guys and it looked like y'all had sold cars down to the point where I know of a dealership that I'm familiar with. It only had like four new, brand new cars in inventory, and they were shipping around buying used stuff so that they could still keep selling stuff.
Right.
And then people started pre-buying and ordering cars, and also then that big within like three or four or five weeks, all that big sludge come in of the cars that they had ordered. But boom, they're gone again. I was on that same car lot, like into last week.
Right.
And I looked around. I'm going like, y'all getting ready to have a dance here or what? I said, yeah, man, we done sold all these cars. He said, we waiting for more cars to come in.
Right.
He said, then they had 12 new ones.
Right.
And normally they have 60 or 80, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's and we try and keep a couple hundred, new vehicles on the lot. And it got down.
Well, y'all's lot about four times bigger than theirs.
But we get, we had gotten down into, probably 35, 40, new vehicles at one point, which is a struggle when you're trying to sell about 100 of them a month.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But, we made it through it. And, we've had a bunch of new vehicles come in. We got a parking lot full of them right now that we're trying to get through the pre-delivery inspection.
Now, is this 21s you're talking about?
21s. Okay. Everything's 21s.
20s are gone, I would think.
Pretty much. There may be a couple around, but just there's not many.
They'd be rare if they are. But I bet you there's some good deals on them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're wanting to move them. Yeah. Get the 21s out there. But, we got truckload in this morning and some over the weekend. And I spent half of my day trying to get those that they had pre-sold or had sold on the as soon as they hit the ground,
right,
so they could deliver them today. So that was a little challenging today, but we got.
What do y'all call that? A pre-delivery inspection?
Well, it's PDI, which is pre-delivery inspection.
And, okay,
we were running from the time we got there this morning trying to get those done where they can get them sold. But it looks like we do have a caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
Good show, you and Tom, as usual. Thanks for doing what you do. This is the first time that I missed a snowball derby in some 20 years, and I was wondering if the virus had any effect on the crowd.
Not that I could see. it was.
Would you believe that Pat told me that they were sold out?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
I went in there as the Saturday before they started the snowball next Thursday, and to see just how they were doing, and I talked with Tim, and actually talked to him, and he called in, and Kevin did an interview with him about, you know, about the snowball and all the different classes and when they were going to run and what have you. But I asked her, I said, well, what about the COVID? She said, Tom, I can't believe it. She said, we're sold out. And she said, you know, I've only had to return money on three sets of tickets. I said,
wow,
what?
That's great.
She said she couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Well, see, Florida's still open, though. See, their governor said, okay, you know, everything's open and all that stuff. And they were even talking about having a full race or spectator stands in for the Daytona race in, first February?
Right.
Whenever they are in February. But I think NASCAR is backing off on that, and they're only going to allow 50,000 or something.
Yeah, it's the stands were packed. The infield was as packed as I've seen it. You know, now they were being careful. They scanned everybody that come through the gates. You know, everybody going in the grandstands went through this big elaborate scanner thing.
Yeah, just they had one entrance to the whole grandstands.
Right, and
so they could control all of that.
And they were asking people to keep masks on in the stands and that kind of stuff. And it was, I mean, they were doing their part on trying to keep it safe. But they were there to have a good time. And you know, there wasn't a whole lot of intermingling going on in the infield between teams and that. You know, people just trying to keep it
right.
You know, keep everything safe. So
trying to be smart about it. You know, but what could we expect really? When you've got the NASCAR champion, Chase Elliott, racing, and then you've got Rowdy over there, he's racing, and then in one of the he's Xfinity driver, I think.
Our hometown boy in finger in there.
Oh, yeah, Grant was in there running. And we had some good guys over there.
Yeah.
You know, Tom, one thing I noticed in the past years, the New England drivers, racers, and the Wisconsin racers have discovered that race, and they've really come on strong, haven't they?
Yes, and even California.
Yes.
I mean, you know, guys, they'll tow all the way from California in there for that race. But when you know that you're going to have a chance for the second chance race to get in there, and look, Chase Elliott had to go in. He got in the last chance race.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid, Chandler Smith from Georgia, he started last in that race. And I think he did pretty respectable in the snowball race as well.
Oh, yeah?
He did. You know, and that's and I was really surprised the pole sitter didn't take him up on their offer to start on the tail end, because it was almost a $30,000 bonus win the pole and start on the tail end and win it.
Right, you know? Right.
I mean, Chase started tail end of the field and he ended up third, and he didn't end up third because he started in the back. It was that he had a third place car. He could get to there, and that's all he could get.
Well, but, he didn't have the car that he would normally have run in the past, whether it come out of Hendrick's stable or whether it come out of the North Georgia stables that his guys have been working with him all those years. But
Kevin, you know better than most people because of your experience. Starting in the rear of that field is pretty dicey deal.
It is.
And not everybody's a Chase Elliott.
Exactly.
Yeah, a Rowdy.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, well, thanks, guys. Thanks for taking the time with me. Tom, this is Bob, in case you didn't know.
All right, big guy. Yeah. Glad to hear from you, man.
Good to hear from you.
Everybody doing okay?
Doing good, thank you. Yourself?
I've been back to the doctor again today. My fatigue level is pretty high from the COVID, and my lungs are scarred up pretty heavy. But, at 82, what the hell are you supposed to do, man? I'm just glad to be here.
Well, I am too, and Merry Christmas to both of you.
Same to you, brother.
Thank you.
Keep our families and those fellows of ours that we've lost out of our old coffee drinking deals in your prayers.
But, yeah, that's, I tell you, Snowball was a great race, and they had them packed in, no doubt.
Hey, that's the best short track race. I mean, it will compare with the Chili Bowl in Knoxville, and when they start talking about those dirt tracks and all.
Yeah.
And this is probably the best small half-mile asphalt track, bar none.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, And all the classes had a great field of cars, you know. And in the outlaw race, we had 37 cars there.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah,
the modifieds and sportsmen's and trucks and all them, they were more than 20 cars in each one of those classes.
Great fields,
which is
a really good
field.
Great fields.
There was 100 plus late miles between the super and the pro late mile races. So. Yeah, it was a packed out deal, no doubt.
Well, you talk about the super late models or the snowball cars, all of them didn't get in.
Right.
They sent a bunch of cars.
There was a bunch of good cars.
High-dollar cars and high-dollar drivers and big-name drivers loaded up and went home.
Yep, absolutely. There's past winners and people that run extremely well and run higher classes that loaded their stuff up and went home.
Yep.
No doubt.
That is so true.
We do have a couple texts here. Let's see. We got Dave from Gulf Shores. And
Brother Dave, he's talked to us here about every week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I want to apologize to him for one thing. I mean, he's talking about how busy we are in sales and service. But he had about a three-hour wait a few weeks ago to get an oil change done on his vehicle, which is something we strive not to have happen. But I do apologize for that, but it's it is in demand. We try and offer a top notch service, and there's a bunch of people there, and sometimes we get overrun. I think it was Monday or Tuesday of last week. We had at one point we had 20 people there waiting to get their oil changed at one time. Not counting the ones that people had dropped cars off to get changed.
Good gracious. But you know what that tells me, though, is the service that you're doing and the actual service. You're not just changing oil.
Right.
You know, because I had had my daughter's vet out there, and we checked some of the things out on it and had an oil change on it. But I sit there and, thank you for letting me sit on your stool while you was going to lunch.
Yeah, that's right.
But I sit there and watched, the guys do a brake job. And then I also watched the guy do an oil change on there. And, I mean, he was doing like we talked about. He was checking all the fluids. He was checking everything underneath the vehicle. And he was specific about the oil filter and all that he had, because I heard him when he went in the parts department and told him exactly what he wanted, what kind of vehicle it was.
Right.
And then he did a great job. He rotated the tires and all on it and all. Mm-hmm. And going like, that is cool. That is not a regular damn oil change.
No. I mean, we're doing a lot more than just draining oil and putting filter on it.
We don't have service stations no more. We got to do that.
No, and you have to.
We don't have to check our vehicles, Cal.
And you've got to go through and you've got to retrain the vehicle where the tires are. And there's a lot more to it than what it used to be.
Yes.
But looks like we're up to our mid-break. I want to thank everybody for listening. We'll be back after these messages.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you've heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Let's see, we got a couple texts here. Let's see. Tom, Kevin, I got a friend with a 2015 Volvo wagon, wouldn't start, heater not working, took it to a really good local repair shop, repaired both items, she got the car back, drove 4 miles, smoke from under the hood, and white smoke tailpipe. Refilled water twice to get back home, put 2 quarts oil back in it, dipstick was not milky, underside of the filler cap, not milky. Repair shop said they're sorry, we'll help her. From what I'm seeing, you're asking what might be wrong. What I'm seeing from what you're telling me, I'm thinking blown head gasket. That really shouldn't have anything to do with the oil loss, but, The losing water and white smoke out of the tailpipe is a dead giveaway for a water getting in the cylinders. Doesn't necessarily have to mix. So it can get right out the combustion chamber and go right on through.
Yep.
You know? So my guess is it's probably going to be a head gasket issue. So they're going to have to, and there's ways to check for a blown head gasket. There's a combustion test kit that you can use to check for combustion gases in the cooling system.
I used those before myself.
Yeah, they do a good job of checking it. You know, it's, you know, from what you're telling me, I'm going to tell you that's probably what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, they're, unfortunately.
Well, yeah. Here's, let me throw this in. One of the first things that I looked at when I saw it, he said there was nothing on the oil cap. It was not milky under there. Normally, when we get water in our oil, and for any period of time, it's going to get milky. It's going to get milky, milkshake-looking stuff underneath there. And now, that tells me, and you said he hadn't drove it, four miles?
4 miles to get home.
So whatever's happened has happened since the repairs were made, and then they got to there. Because if it had ever shut the motor off and it had pressure on the water system, then if it did have the blown gasket going into the combustion chamber, then the water would have come down by the rings and got in the oil.
Yeah.
It hadn't done that.
No, no. And it's, you know, I don't know if this particular car is. A lot of the newer Volvos are turbocharged. One thing that I have seen with turbocharged motors, you can let them sit around and idle. You can drive them around slow and have no issues whatsoever. You get out and you get after it just a little bit or run it.
Get up to highway speed.
Get up to highway speeds. Yeah. Let it start putting just a little bit of boost in the motor and it'll blow it past the head gasket. But it takes that pressure to make it blow in there. So, you know, it can cause issues that way.
I have a couple of questions. Uh-huh. I've been thinking about it.
Go ahead.
They talked about the heater, the heater core. Now, if the heater core was leaking, and so that would not let you have heat from the heater. Now, he didn't say whether it was heat or whether it just didn't work.
Well, he was saying it didn't heat. So,
well, I would think the blower's working then.
Right.
So I would think that they could have lost the water. Through the heater core before it wouldn't crank, and the motor might have run hot, you know, before it got to the point where it wouldn't crank.
And that's possible, you know, but, you know, a lot of times your first indication that you're low on water is that your heater quits working.
Right.
Because it's usually one of the higher components in the cooling system. So it's where the air pocket's going to be. And you know, that's usually your first telltale that you might have a cooling system problem.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So, you know, it's hard to say, you know, whether it was the chicken or egg, okay, you know, which will come first. But, you know, more than likely, I think you'll end up looking at a head gasket before it's all said and done. But, you know, it's unfortunately,
let me ask you this. I'll keep interrupting you. You're going to slap me in a minute. Knock the old man out of the chair. If you do something like that and you find that you've got a head gasket on one side, on one cylinder, would you replace both head gaskets?
If it's a V-series motor that has two head gaskets, I mean, the other side got just as hot and it's just as old as the other one.
And it could go at any time.
It can go at any time. Why spend the money to go that far and not go ahead and pull the head off and fix it, you know? Just doesn't make sense to not.
The shop probably wouldn't want to do it that way anyway.
Most of them will not want to. I mean, I've seen shops that did it that way, but I rarely see that work out.
It was an idea that I just came across my mind, but I wouldn't have done it if it was in my shop. And we would look at the cylinder heads and make sure that they didn't warp.
Yeah.
And make sure that they were straight, you know, maybe run a cleaning pass across them to mill them.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't just do one head.
Right.
But you see so much stuff now. I've been actually out of the industry, tool-wise or whatever, for 20 years. So, I don't know what a lot of the independent shops are doing.
Right, right. Yeah, and there's all different levels of repair shops, you know, and I like to think that the dealerships are top of the food chain, you know, and then there's a lot of independent shops that are right there with the same kind of quality. You know, they have to work a little harder and spend a little more money and time to try and come up with the same information that we do at the dealership. And then it goes downhill from there. You know, there's places that, you know, do some really quality work, and I've seen some pretty shoddy work come out of some of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I like to see it in the service department and in where the service riders are. I happen to, as I said, I was out at your shop the other day, and a guy come in and he started questioning one of your service riders. You know, well, how much you charge me to put a rear end under my car? And the guy said, well, why do you need a rear end? Mm-hmm. And he said, why don't you bring it out here and let me check it? And he said, so let's get the right piece, right part. He said, normally you don't have to replace the whole rear end. He said, is your car drivable? Oh, yeah. It just makes a noise when I do this or do that and all, you know. So when I kind of caught the service rider's eye and I'm shaking my head, nah, that ain't the rear end.
Yeah.
You know? And so he said, yeah, I think I know what that is. But, we're not going to talk about prices or anything until let us check it.
Right.
And let's see exactly what you need. I don't want to just arbitrarily put a rear end under your car and it be the drive shaft.
Well,
you know, or the U-joint behind the transmission or whatever.
Well, and then the first thing you hear if it goes somewhere else is like, well, you know, so-and-so quoted me $3,500
right,
to put
right.
a rear end under my car for this.
Right.
It's like they never mentioned the part that, well, they never drove it or listened to
right.
it. They went by
he,
when
well,
I
he wouldn't let him. You know, so, he wouldn't let him. So I'll bring it back.
Yeah.
So the guy said, well, you bring it back and let me check it. And he said, I'll give you a price on to fix it.
Right.
But he said, I'm not even going to quote you a price on a rear end now because he says – I think we're out in the left field trying to do that. And I thought that was a cool move on your service rider's
right,
deal.
Right.
You know, he didn't let the customer beat him up.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you know, and it's because we're looking out for the customer.
Right.
Because the customer, they may know that they have or have been told that they have a rear end problem.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily
Leroy
always,
down the street told him it had a rear end, need a rear end.
Yeah. But it's not necessarily you got to replace the whole rear end. Maybe it's a bearing. Maybe it's you know, something a little more simple.
Could be a pinion bearing, you know, carrier bearing or whatever,
right.
you know.
Right. So, yeah, sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, let us help you. You know, let us give you the you know, benefit of our experience when it comes to a lot of this stuff. You know, we've been there and done that. There's very, very few things surprises anymore when it comes to, you know, these cars, you know, that, and saying that, I'm sitting here thinking, well, you know, all the time I run into something new, but still, you know.
All right.
Yeah. You know,
well, it's this day and time. I mean, how many cars have rear ends under them? That's what I started to ask you. What
if
kind
it's
of car,
a car
you got? You sure it's not front wheel drive?
Right. If it's a car, it doesn't. But if it's a truck, yeah, we still got a bunch of them. But
yeah,
you know,
it was a car. I remember you saying that, but I didn't pick up on what type of vehicle you said he had. I asked the service rider if he heard.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah. He said, I believe it's got a. I think it's got a rear end under it.
Yeah. Which it could be a Camaro, Corvette, you know, some of the all-wheel drive stuff that we have very few of, but there are some around.
Right.
But
well, let me throw this one at you. Mm-hmm. I understand all of your 2021 Corvettes have already got sold.
I would not surprise me. I haven't heard that for sure, but it would not surprise me at all. You know, because I know all the 2020 stuff was sold when it got here, and everybody that was ordering 2020 Corvettes got flipped over to 2021s. And, you know, there's still a limited production run.
Yeah.
You know? So,
but it's not like, you know, it's like the other cars. You go, oh, we're going to only make 28,000 of those this year or 185,000 of them. I mean, they're only going to make, what, 50,000, 60,000 or something like that?
Yeah, I don't really know the numbers for
I don't know it either, but
it's nowhere near like a truck. It's not
100,000 or more, I wouldn't
know. No. I mean, it's a fairly low production number when you look at the big picture of things, you know. So they're pretty well spoken for before they
– Well, the guy was talking to me about it, had just got one, and he just got back from Austin, Texas, picking his up.
Right.
That's the only dealership that had one that had the items on it that wasn't sold that he wanted.
Yeah.
So, he got on the phone and got, the dealership, started searching around all the other dealerships to see who had what left, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But let's see, we did get another text message here, and it's just a Merry Christmas from our friend Gene over at McConnell. Gene's a good friend of ours. You worked with him at UJ there for a while, and great guy. And Merry Christmas to you as well.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
But it's always good to hear from friends.
Well, Merry Christmas to all of our listeners out there and our good friends in the area. And we've been in the industry as long as we have. We've got a lot of them. A lot of people know us that we don't know. But to all of those, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we pray that all of your family are blessed. And you get through these holidays without giving one of them or y'all catching the COVID. It's not fun, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost a lot of friends. I went through it 10 days in the hospital. And it ain't fun, guys. You know, we don't need to be passing on. Now, a lot of younger people, it's like you got the flu or cold or something. But you get us old codgers out there, you better not get one that's got COPD or emphysema or something, you know.
Right. Exactly. You know, you just got to do your part and try and stay safe. That's all you can do.
Got to.
We got to keep things open, keep things moving, but we also have to keep our weak part of our population, safe.
Well,
sure.
We got too loose with our ways that we lived and like of self-protection with our breathing apparatuses and what have you, and touching everything, you know, and we just got a little bit loose, and a lot of the stuff is going to go with us from now on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's it'll be the new normal.
It will be. Sure.
It's not going to go back exactly like it was because it didn't need to.
Well, we got this one in 1 year. Mm-hmm. What do you think the next one's going to be? Is it going to be COVID-26 or COVID-27 or what's it going to be, you know?
As long as it's not COVID-21, you know, we can just keep on rolling through.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. We were talking earlier with Kevin from out there at Palmer's about we got into the conversation about fuel economy and that, and it's amazing where we have come to this point with fuel economy. I mean, the Equinox that my wife drives, we took it out to Texas, and I'm running 80.
Oh yeah,
a little better. You know,
it's my normal speed.
And I averaged over the whole trip with in-town driving and all that kind of stuff once I got there and turn around and come back and getting caught in traffic and all that kind of stuff, still averaged 33.5 miles a gallon.
Woo!
Yeah. So, I mean, that's – you can't complain.
No, Well, my car's 16 years old, and if I drive 65 or 65, 68, somewhere in there, maybe close to 70.
What was that, in the neighborhoods or something?
It's in the neighborhoods, trying to get to the interstate. But then my car will run, 22.5 to 23 miles per gallon.
Right.
But if I get out there and I put the hammer down, I'll start running with the traffic, trying to stay up with them, and they're all passing me, and I'm doing 80.
I
cannot believe that. I mean, even the big trucks, man.
Oh, yeah.
And people in U-Haulets and what have you. I had a guy in a U-Haul go by me, and I was doing 85. I looked, and I said, oh, I'm going 5 over what I normally drive.
Right.
And that sucker went right on by me.
I
didn't think those things would run, but 70 or 75. But,
I think
I'm going to get about 19 that way.
Right, if you're lucky, yeah.
Yeah.
But, what really impresses me is the fuel economy our full-size trucks get.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a full-size 3/4-ton, 6.6 diesel Allison transmission, that'll pull any kind of weight.
All kind of torque.
But by itself on the interstate running 80 miles an hour, that thing can get over 20 miles a gallon.
You gotta be kidding.
Yeah. You know, our regular gas burners, 20 to 24,
yeah,
you
know, yeah,
on the interstate.
I'll bet you put up something behind that big diesel, it probably wouldn't drop down to maybe 15.
Well, you know, we got a heavy car trailer that we pull, and our old 7.3 Ford diesel, it gets about 7.5, maybe 8.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Pulling it.
That's like the motorhomes and what have you.
75 or, you know, pushing 78. You know.
Or that little V6 Chevrolet pickup truck I used to have and pull trailer to Daytona for a week of racing.
Right.
That was 7. Yeah. 7 or 8 miles per gallon.
But we hooked it up to a buddy of ours, Duramax, 19 model Duramax, and that thing was getting about 12 miles a gallon, running 80 plus.
Oh, yeah.
Pulling a car trailer, you know, that and never checked up. Never even knew it was back there.
Yeah, so you're probably talking about, what, 10, 15,000 pounds?
More? We are car, truck, trailer, one person drive in the truck. Like we go to the racetrack is about 30,000 pounds.
Ooh.
So it's a.
And you still get that kind of mileage.
Yeah, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's a heavy load for sure.
You take a 2,700 pound car, then you take, you know, 2,000 pound toolbox.
Well, and that's our pit carts, 2,000 pounds, plus all the stuff we have, plus the trailer's well built and it's heavy.
Yeah.
Plus the other stuff we take, you know, multiple sets of tires and lead ballast in case we need it.
You got 20,000 pounds behind you, none.
Yeah, at least 20,000.
Yeah, the truck probably running, 6 or 7?
Oh, those things are closer to 10.
Oh, they are?
85
okay.
to 9.
Okay.
Yeah, 10, somewhere in there.
I was thinking about old school. Talking about the youth rides.
Yeah. But what really impressive is the 3-liter inline diesel that's in the new Chevrolets.
Ooh.
They're 30 miles a gallon on interstate.
3-liter diesel.
3-liter inline 6-cylinder diesel.
With a turbo?
With turbo.
Oh, okay.
And it's making 400 and I don't remember the exact numbers. It's 400 and almost 50 foot-pounds of torque.
Oh, well, a 6-cylinder's got more torque than a V8 anyway.
Yeah. Then it's smooth, quiet.
Yeah, longer rods, bigger throw.
Got a 10-speed automatic behind it.
Oh, my Lord, yeah. It's like shift all week transmission.
Well, but it's so seamless in the way it shifts. It really impressed me when I drove it. You take off, and it's keeping it right in the power band, you know, at all times. Where the old 3, 4, 5, 6 speeds, there was some times where you felt it kind of lay down before shifted those times.
In the trucking industry, we used to call that lugging it.
Right. Lugging it or running it on beyond
running it past
Power curve,
power curve.
And but this 10-speed, it keeps it right there in the power curve pretty much all the time, and does an incredible job of doing that. And it's very smooth, very very quiet. If you didn't know you was driving a diesel, you'd never know it. You hear it. So
it ain't like them old International Transtars that we used to run back in the 60s, huh?
Right.
With them 10-speed Road Rangers in them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But we got more and more electric vehicles coming. Just heard today that GM has put a big investment into the truck engine manufacturing facility in Tonawanda, and also their metal stamping facilities to where they can produce more motors, more sheet metal for the trucks.
All right.
To get them, you know, get them out there on the road.
Didn't I tell you about them using the metal from Alabama?
Yeah.
Wasn't that what we were talking about?
Yeah. And quite a bit of it, I think, does come from here.
Up at Calvert. They've designed a new type of steel up there that's lighter but stronger. So, therefore, they can make some of the sections of the frame and stuff like that a little bit longer without having to put a lot of other pieces in it. So, I think that's cool, the fact that it came from Alabama.
Yeah.
And that they have been working with the automotive industry, I understand, for like 8 or 10 years to develop that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And now they're producing it, so it's starting to show up in all the trucks, you know.
Yep. I tell you, you know, we're talking about the metals you use in trucks, and I shouldn't make fun of Ford because of their all-aluminum body, because I know everybody's going to end up going there before it's over with. But I saw on the news here a couple weeks ago where that one Ford, they had a little vape pen or whatever, cigarette, caught fire. And basically you could see the grill and a little bit of the front fender, and you could see the tailgate and a little bit of the taillights, and everything in the middle was gone.
It melted it down, I bet.
It melted it into a big puddle.
That's the common thing.
It is. It is.
Between aluminum cabs, aluminum components, and then we've got all this trick stuff, steel.
Yeah.
Frames, and you know.
Yeah.
And now we got all the trick paint and all the stuff that we've got on them.
Yeah, I tell you, it's things are changing. They're trying to keep them as light as possible. You know, our trucks have gotten pretty heavy. You know, and they're making them lighter. They're bringing it back down, but they're trying to keep this. You know, they're doing a very good job of keeping the strength in them. Yeah, they've changed the chassis, the way the chassis are built.
We ought to get old Kim, stiffer. First of the year, we get Kim Beck on.
Yeah.
And let him talk about all that stuff. He's helping to actually build the new Ford plant. I think it's in Kentucky. For the electric trucks.
Right.
That's all they're going to produce there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's helping design the flow pattern and what have you, but he's already been, you know, to all these schools, and he's got all this technology and stuff about it.
Right. Right.
So we're not going to beat up on the Chevrolets because they pay the bills, but we'd like to know what our competition is doing.
Well, we got to find out what the competition is doing for sure. But, you know, and one of the weak points of trucks has always been the joint between the cab and the bed, because the only thing you've got supporting the truck at that point is just the frame itself.
Right.
And one thing they've done with this new body truck is, instead of a C-channel type frame, with braces and all in it, they've gone to a full box frame, which is a lot taller, so it has a lot more strength in that area.
Reckon where they got that from? Race cars, like box probably. Frames.
Yeah.
Box frames.
Sounds like it.
Yeah,
sounds like it. You know, but it has really improved the ride and the
You know, that's the weak link in the frame.
One of the things that we've had for years, and then was the that it, we get a vibration and get what they call a beam shake just from that flex point in there, and it's eliminated all that.
But, awesome.
Looks like we run up to the end of our show. You know, of course, we can always keep talking, but
Phillip's going to cut us off.
He's going to cut us off. But I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show, and we'll be back next week.
Be blessed. Have a great weekend, great holiday, and to all of our veterans, hoorah!
Sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, because I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be...